We've covered a lot in the last 2 days. It's funny because usually on the second day I'm saying, remember the other day, a couple of days ago? Oh, wait, it was yesterday, because it feels like there's been so much, right? So I always like to start with a little review. Is that okay if we start with a little review, right? And I think that when you get engaged with doing the review like yesterday, did anybody find that valuable, going and working with somebody else and sharing? Yes? Okay. So everybody's tired because nobody's raising their hands. You're nodding your heads, but there's more energy expended when you have to do this. Come on, let's do it. Good for you. I wasn't. I had too much to do. I would have loved to, though. All right, so what we're going to do is break up in pairs and just find one other person and try to find somebody you haven't really gotten to know yet, you know, that you haven't really connected with yet, all right? And or maybe you've connected with everybody, but somebody that you didn't share with yesterday, let's just say. And let's just share for, like, let's take 2 minutes each to share so far, and you could review from Friday as well, but, you know, try to stick to yesterday because it might be fresher on your mind. Some things that you are taking away, some things that we learned, like what did we learn and what am I going to do with what I learned? How's that sound? Okay? So they're going to set the timer for 2 minutes so we can give them 2 minutes each, and then we'll flip it at, flip. So 1, 2, 3, go! You guys get so enthusiastic about sharing. I remember yesterday I said to you, I'm going to ask you, do you guys like this kind of sharing thing or not? And then nobody wanted to come back, and nobody listened to me for a whole minute after the time was up. So I figured, yeah, I guess so. They're hearing me enough that, yeah. So what I would like, again, I would like for you to raise your hand if you would like to share one thing that's standing out for you from yesterday. That was an aha, that was a wow, that was, you know, I didn't know that and I'm going to do this, or I did know that, I'm really newly inspired to do that. So who wants to share? Let's see. Okay, we have Barbara. Let me come over here. Let you share. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm Barbara Dunn from Tennessee. And when Steph Jackson was giving her talk, just the whole thing on probiotics, there's probiotics and there's probiotics and there's probiotics, but I just thought there were probiotics. So now I know that I can research to figure out which one it is that I need to be taking.
Exactly.
And my clients need to be taking. That was just a huge aha.
Whee! Let's give her a big kiss. Mwah! Awesome. Yes, that's a big distinction for a lot of folks. It was a big distinction for me too. Yeah. So, and when Steph was up there, somebody who was sitting next to me, who's not in the program, said to me, "Oh my God, don't you feel so proud right now? Don't you feel like a proud mama right now?" I'm like, and then yesterday afternoon with that panel, who was blown away by everybody's stories and determination and abilities, right? Abilities to take on not just your person who's, you know, eating Wonder Bread and has a little aches and pains, but people who are really sick, people who have been to other practitioners. What did Lisa say, that guy who had been to, what, 5 or 6 different practitioners already and nobody could help him, right? And that's the state I want all of you to be in. Because, the medical system is broken, as Lynn so well said. It is broken. And it's your turn, our turn, to change it around. And if not us, who? If not us, who? Right? Because we have huge hearts, and we have big brains, and we just have to fill them with the right information and the right skills so that we can get in there when there's a tough case. And we can figure it out, right? Who feels like right now, if someone came to you with a situation where they had been, you know, the last five years, they've had this problem, it keeps getting worse, they've tried this medication, they've tried this acupuncturist, they've tried a lot of things, and they're still not getting better. Who would feel like that picture I put up? Who would feel like that? A little bit? Why do you have confidence? Who would feel like, yes, I got this? Okay, and who is feeling kind of in between, like, I think I need to study more, I need more education, I need more knowledge, I need more practice, I need more, you know, working with somebody who's been doing it for 25 or 30 years, right? And when that was me, when I first started encountering those kinds of patients in my practice, that was me when I started out, and the first time, like, I've only been out of school a year. Like, you've been to what? How many naturopaths and how many chiropractors and how many acupuncturists and how many MDs? Like, what do I know? But I get it. I'll figure this out. And then the books come out and everything, you know, the studying and the figuring it out. But I realized that when you have a step-by-step process, when you have a system to follow, you don't leave anything out. Because I came from computers and math. And when the computer breaks down, right, when the software stops working, you go, okay, what are all the insides? What's it supposed to do? What do the pathways look like? Biochemistry, physiology, right? What's going on? Now, this is what broke. So what kind of questions do I need to ask to figure out why did this break? What broke down in the chain to cause this one thing to break? And so I just applied what I learned from being a computer nerd analyst who everybody called on in the middle of the night when the software went down and I had to figure it out. And that was before we had terminals at home. We had to drive into the office and turn on the computer and figure it out. So those skills, who here is from that kind of a background, a technology, problem solving? So for you, it might be easier to learn the processes. And you raised your hand, Valerie, and I was impressed with Valerie from the very beginning, the kinds of questions she asked said to me, oh, she gets it. She's thinking physiology, biochemistry, and seeing in pathways. And then she's going, oh, well, what about this and what about that? And that's what we need to do with our own health as well as others, because, quite frankly, nobody else is going to do it for you. That's not the way medicine is practiced, right? That's not what you were taught in school. You were taught, if you have migraines, it could be any one of these drugs that are going to do it, and let's just try it and see. And if you have arthritis, which of these painkillers is not going to wreck your stomach before and get rid of your pain? And so it's not that. It's the this for that, that box thing. So what have we learned? We learned that the traditional Western approach is to put people in boxes, right? And then label the box with a diagnosis and then try, you know, usually a half a dozen, three, one kind of an approach and go, let's just wait and see if the person gets better. In the meantime, what we see is they sometimes get worse and worse. Now, not to say that if you're in acute pain and not to say that if you're about to have a heart attack or in the process of having a heart attack, give me the ER, give me whatever drugs they think are going to keep me alive, and then we'll work on the real root cause, right? Then we'll work on the real root cause, like the battery in the smoke detector, the fire in the house, and where my sister and brother-in-law ended up because nobody was really looking for the root cause. Which, when we looked at their lifestyle and we looked at their physiology, it was apparent to me what the root causes were. But the people in charge, when my brother-in-law was in the hospital, I went in there. My sister, I was traveling and I was out there anyway, and she says, come to the hospital with me, talk to the doctor. I'm like, okay, I'll try, but what do you want me to talk about? Well, talk to you about nutrition, and you said IV vitamin C, and I had all this stuff, and he had lung cancer, which turned into a bad infection, and he was dying. And I said, okay, so I did a lot of research, and I gathered what I thought the doctor would need, right, which was stacks of studies to say, look, what I'm telling you is here. It's in your journals, right? Here's a guy with the same looking lungs as my brother-in-law had, and here's the same guy 48 hours later after IV vitamin C. And so the doctor politely listened with her dietitian at her side, who said, when she said, well, what kind of doses are we talking about? I said, well, this study, the guy did, they did like 26 grams over a 24-hour period, which is not really that much. It's a gram an hour. But, and the dietitian went, "That's a lot of vitamin C." I'm like, "Yeah, that's a lot of damage in the lungs, and we gotta help him get rid of it." And she goes, "But he might get a kidney stone." And I said, "Well," I said to my sister, "Would you like to take? Were you willing to take the chance of your husband being alive with a kidney stone, or dead?" And she went, "I'll sign whatever you want. Just give him the vitamin C. You don't have anything for him. You're telling me he's on his deathbed. Just give him the vitamin C." We begged and pleaded. She signed away. Yeah. They gave him vitamin C. She says, "They gave him vitamin C." I said, "What dose?" 500 milligrams twice a day. I said, "That's a baby dose. That's what's in a children's multivitamin. Like you." So that was my experience in the foray. But he might get a kidney stone. Like, who cares? If he's alive, we'll figure that out later. Oy. So our mission is critical. Your family members, my family members, some of them have already suffered and died. There's people out there that are waiting for us to get out there. And we all have to stop playing small. It's possible when we're together and we're playing the big stage, right? And we are ready and equipped and able and have a community where we can call on to say, "I got this tough case. What do you think?" We have a mentor to call on that says, "I got this tough case. What do you think?" We got to get to the root cause. And this was all what we did on the first day, first morning. And we got to change what's in that medical bag. And I don't necessarily recommend that you walk around with a medical bag full of fresh produce. It's not going to last for more than a day or two in the heat of Texas, maybe a few hours. But that's the idea, right? Food, food, food is the best medicine. And why? Why do we do this? We help you to look at why you do. Why do you do what you do? I showed you why, because I've watched family members suffer and die, and I have two beautiful kids that are in their 20s. You got to meet one last night. Did you like the music? Yes? That was my boy and his friend. It was fun. So my why is I want to be around for them. I know what it felt like to lose my parents when I was 35 years old. I know what that felt like, and I know that pain, and I know how difficult it was. I also know how it was for my brother, who was my youngest brother. There were a family of 9 kids, so the youngest brother was 18 when my mother died, and 20 when my mother died. And so that's right around the same age. My son that you met last night is 21. And I think about what would his life be like if suddenly he didn't have either of his parents, not just one, but either of his parents. And that's heart-wrenching. And that's why I do what I do, because I want to be around and vibrant and full of energy, and maybe too much energy, because they're like, "Mom, slow down." But I want to be there for them. I want to be there for them when they have a problem. I want to be there for them when they're always like, "Mom, I think I broke a rib. Mom, I sprained my ankle again." You know, I want to be there for them. And I want to be advice for them, but also to have the physical stamina to, you know, pop his back or work on his ankle or whatever I have to do to support them. What's your why? Anybody call out some of the whys, and I'm gonna repeat them. What's some of your whys? Or I'll just walk around and stick a microphone in your mouth. How's that? What's your big why?
I knew you were coming to me. My family.
Your family.
Family, and actually a legacy from my mom who died when I was 39. So same.
Yeah. What's your big why?
Family.
I refuse to allow people to be victims of their diagnosis.
Woohoo! I love that one. What's your big why?
Family and my own health.
Family and your own health.
Family and customers that I help.
I have a lot of things I want to do.
A lot of things you want to do. And yeah, exactly. Freedom, that body freedom, right? Anybody else here? Let's see.
I want people to have the health. Because it's the life that they're missing out on.
Right.
It just makes me so
it is,
sad.
And that's why I love that concept I do with the body freedom, right? Because we have the freedom to do what we want, and we want that for them, because they're saying no to so many things, right? So many things they're saying no for.
We work with diabetics, and I'm diabetic. I don't want other people to have to go through what I've gone through.
Awesome. Awesome. And you've gotten it under control pretty well?
It's working with diabetic, and we have a group called Sweet Talkers, And for the last 3 years, we've run free monthly nutrition meetings
nice.
For them. And people come up to me afterwards and say, I've never heard this before.
Right,
because
right.
they're not taught anything.
They're not taught,
they're
right.
not taught.
They're taught to do the diabetic exchanges. Anybody else that's got a burning one they want to share, it, come around. Okay.
Hi, my why is the legacy that I'm leaving.
The legacy, okay.
Yep,
explain that
family.
More.
My family.
Wait, yeah.
Changing patterns, DNA, breaking the cycle
Break
for my children
cycle.
And my grandchildren and so on and so on.
Awesome. Awesome. And for other people, right? Because your legacy is who you're touching, and they get to leave a legacy. Okay, we'll come around this way. All right.
To support the future of the unborn children.
Woohoo! Gynecologist OB.
Oh, awesome.
To become better equipped to serve the cause of life.
Ooh, the cause of life. I love that. Absolutely.
Why can I not be more all-inclusive when diagnosing my patients and offer them a better lifestyle changes that really improve them?
That will really improve them,
yeah.
right? And a pioneer in neurology is a neurologist, right? We want everybody that's a neurologist to have his attitude and come to conferences like that. Go ahead.
To have better brain health.
Better brain
Therefore,
health.
Therefore, balanced emotions, feeling mentally strong and fit, and
yeah.
also my family legacy of changing the environment
yeah.
in the way of food.
Yeah.
For greater health.
For greater health, yeah. Carrie?
To create healthier communities.
Healthier communities, right? And that creates a healthier world, and I think that all of what we're doing is a contribution to world peace. Right? Because when people are they're suffering, they're not going to be very nice to their neighbor. And if people, when they have some brain imbalances, that not being nice may result in violence, right? And innocent people getting hurt. So we owe it to the world to be out there big, right? As big as you can be.
My mission, as you heard, is to help 100,000, to inspire and empower 100,000 women to take back ownership of their health and
why?
Hormones. My why.
Yeah, why do you want to do that with those women?
Because I'm fed up of seeing people not connecting with their soul and not connecting with their root cause.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot of that in 20 years in medicine, right, as a general practitioner. So if anybody has a burning, we're going to give you an opportunity later for anybody that hasn't shared to share and to share what you're going to do with that why and empower you over the next 30 to 60 days to actually do something big, bigger than you're comfortable with. But as you make that declaration that you're going to do something bigger than you're comfortable with, your comfort zone expands, right? It's not going to be here. It's going to be here. And then that bigger thing is no longer uncomfortable, then you move to the next one, right? And then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. So we talked about a 5-step process. Who remembers what the steps are? Assess, connect, plan, remove obstacles, and reassess, right? And we have the tools for you to do all that. Those of you who are in NEPT know that, and those of you who are in some of our other programs that we take you through those steps all the time, and it's an iterative process, right? So you don't feel like that. You feel like that when those tough cases come in, and those steps are an iterative process. So when you reassess, hopefully, they're at a different place than where they started. And if they're at the same place, then that plan needs to be dramatically changed, right? If they're not shifting. If they've gotten a little better, maybe the plan is fine. It just needs to be carried on longer. And all of that is what you're going to go through as you work with each person. And I hate the concept of protocols, although I use that word sometimes, because a protocol implies that it's the same for everyone, right? A protocol. What's the protocol? People come up to me all the time. What's your protocol for H. pylori, Mike? And that's actually an easier one than many, but it depends on why do they have H. pylori? What's going on in their system? What damage has the H. pylori done so far? Have they only had it for a little bit? Do they actually have an ulcer, or they just detected it on a blood? I mean, for me, one statement, one question is why, and what it's going to generate the questions. And I want you to have the versatility and the constant awareness. And, you know, when you first heard about a Dutch test, you're sitting on a call going, huh? And we'll talk about those later. You're going, huh? What the heck is this? And within like 2 months, she's like, I got this Dutch test on, you know, whatever. Or she's like, and analyzing it. It's so cool, right? And it's an iterative process. Learning is an iterative process. And we always benefit from learning from people ahead of me. I don't stop learning. I'm teaching, but I don't stop learning. I'm going to conferences all the time. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a conference with Joel Mercola Bland, Jeffrey Bland. And that guy impresses the heck out of me. I met Jeffrey Bland decades ago when I went to all his things. When I was still in school even, I'd go to all his classes. And I went to the very first IFM meeting. And what happened was I met him a couple of years ago at an IFM meeting when it was here, Institute of Functional Medicine. And I went up to him and I bought his book and I wanted him to sign it. I said, hi, you probably don't remember me, but he goes, Rita Marie, I haven't seen you in a long time. How are you doing? And I'm like, I thought he just memorized studies. He just memorizes everything, right? And I'm like, I want that guy's brain. And he said to me, I said, yeah, I was at the very first IFM meeting. And what is this, number 19? He goes, no, you were at the second one. The one that was in Palm Desert. I'm like, yeah, that's where it was. He goes, yeah, the first one was in Maui. I don't think you were at that one. Like, okay? And we can admire people and we can learn from them. But he's so humble and so, you know, down to earth. It was very cool. So our health continuum needs to stop being what? What's the medical health continuum look like? A pill for every ill. But what do they think of? Okay, I'm going to look at you. It's symptom-free or diseased, right? And you look at the labs, it's either in the range or out of the range. But quite frankly, those ranges are including lots of sick people. So do we want to be in the range of normal or do we want to be in the ideal range for you? So we want to get from disease, get them symptom-free, get them in balance, you know, identify the imbalances, get them in balance, and then get them to the next level, which somebody said yesterday, I want to be unstoppable, right? And that's what I want to be. Excuse me. Am I unstoppable? I need my throat spray. I'll keep it up here. By the third day, the vocal cords are a little rusty. That's what we want for people. Now, well, you know, the truth of the matter is we're not going to be able to get everybody to unstoppable. But if that's their goal, and when I've done webinars, and I ask, what's your goal? Do you want to just get out of pain? You know, and it's fine, whatever your goal is. And you have to ask that for people. Because you may be working towards getting them to this ultimate pinnacle and they just want their knees to stop hurting, you know? And once you get their knees to stop hurting, then you can say something along the lines of, okay, your knees are hurting, but you know what? I'll share this little model with you. There's probably still some imbalances going on that cause those knees to hurt, and let's work on those. How would you like to work on those? And how would you like to work on it's okay, the Maalox helps, you know? The Tums help. I'm fine with my digestion, I don't need help. Right, so you're going to see different people, and some that come in, yes, I want to be the best, I want to be unstoppable. We talked about nutritional endocrinology, right? And what is nutritional endocrinology? Using nutrition to manage hormones. And when we say to manage hormones, do we mean sex hormones, or do we mean what? All of them. And what do hormones control? Everything, right? So nutritional endocrinology is the science of using diet and lifestyle factors, and I think of nutrition as not just the food we eat, but the thoughts we think, the environment that we're in, what we're breathing, that's nutrition to our bodies because it's fuel and food or non-food, right? Junk food. We talked about our verb, right? Was that fun? Has everybody been wearing their verb on their... Yes? Have you been acknowledging other people's verbs as you go through the weekend? Say, hi, empower. Hi, inspire. I would encourage you to play with that on these breaks, is to just look at the person's name tag and acknowledge their verb. Because the verb is you. It's movement. It's who you are, not this, you know, female or male body, not this, you know, 27-year-old or 82-year-old. You are you. Your essence is movement. Your essence is what you do in the world, not how you look, right? That's what it is. So we talked about that the continuum and the timeline of metabolic disorders, chronic disease, is very similar to the timeline of insulin resistance, and how we cannot overlook insulin resistance as an underlying cause of brain problems, gynecological problems, digestive problems, pain, inflammation. We have to look at all of that. And insulin resistance is important because it's one of the key hormones, right? 30 years or more. So somebody's complaining about, you know, I have to eat every 2 hours. How long's that been going on? Let's check your postprandial glucose. Okay, now we have these great tools, and anybody that's an MD or ND can prescribe them. Get them on those folks that when they're pregnant, right? And get them on that right away. Get them on it when they're saying, I'm getting ready to become pregnant. Great, let's see what your blood sugar's like. So we don't end up with somebody who's gestational diabetes and ends up having a 14-pound baby that's predisposed to having diabetes. We talked about insulin resistance. We talked about fasting. Who has fasted in here? Okay, so we're gonna see who's fasted the longest. Do we have any extra raffle prizes? If we have one, I want to bring one up, guys. Okay, so who has fasted for more than 30 days? You have fasted water?
No.
Who's fasted for more than 30 days consecutively? I would be surprised. Who's fasted for more than 20 days consecutively on just water? Okay, we have two. Okay, how many days? 28. 28. Woohoo! Okay, over here? 25? 23. Give Nancy a prize. Anybody has fasted in the room longer than 28? And let's give her a hand. Woohoo! Water only, right? Awesome. Congratulations. It's hard, right? It's not hard. It's actually not hard after the 4 or 5 days. But nobody ever makes it to the 4th or 5th day because it's hard. It's hard. It really is hard, the beginning, right? So fasting's cool, and everything, whether they have genetic imbalances in blood sugar or genetic imbalances in brain function or their lab tests are showing problems, we have to go back, not to go like, what's the sophisticated test that needs to be done? What are they doing? And that was when I was starting to work with people, and they said, I still have my exhaustion, I still have these pains, and I'm doing this and doing that. And I start to talk to them, I'm like, you're still eating gluten and sugar? Like, didn't the doctor tell you that you should avoid it? Well, they said it might be a good idea. I'm like, okay. So there was always things missing, right? Looking at the diet. Most practitioners are not looking at the diet. Most practitioners are giving lip service to the diet. Eat a healthy diet. Eat a balance of fruits and vegetables. And then they're not telling them that your plate should be 75% produce. Who's been taught that? You have, because you learned from me. Yeah, 75%, well, that's what we talk about. 75% of the plate should be fresh vegetables and fruits. But that's not what people are taught. They said, eat a good diet. And then you look at their plate, like who had Lisa put up. He was on a good diet, right? With lots of bread and lots of cheese and lots of meat and fresh vegetables, but he didn't eat junk food. And wine, like, wow, 4 or 5 cups a night, did she say? Right? And that's what people say, because you can't say, what's your diet like? Oh, it's good. Okay, good. We'll skip that. How are your bowels? Oh, they're fine. No, you can't just ask, how are your bowels? How many bowel movements do you have a day? And they go, a day? You mean a week? And you know they have a problem, right? So people have this impression based on the standard American diet and lifestyle of what a good diet is and a good bowel habits, right? But I don't have to push very long, okay? I don't have hemorrhoids. I always wondered about the magazines in the bathroom. If you go to somebody's house and you see that they have magazine stacks in their bathroom, either they have young children and it's the only way they can escape, it's like, oh God, yes, I'm in the bathroom, honey, I'll be out in a little while, and they're catching up on their reading and their breathing and their, or they're constipated, right? Because you shouldn't have time to read a magazine. It's like, go in, done, flush, and you're out, right? That's what bowel movements should be like. So ask those questions. Make it a joke so they don't like get, you know, we talk about bowel movements a lot on our calls, right? We talk about enemas. You've been on a few of the ERC calls, and you've been on a lot of them over the years. We talk about bowel movements. And we have mixed, you know, males and females, and people get used to talking about their periods or their bowel movements. And we should, right? It's bodily functions. So it's cool stuff. And then we talked about the ketones. And I gave you a way to measure, so go to ketomojo.com, and you have the little calculator, so you can put in your 85 and your, you know, 1.2 and figure out your index, and you don't have to do the divide by 18 step. But if you don't go there, you just take your number, that's your 85 or 90 or your U.S. number, divide it by 18, and then divide it by the ketones, and then you know. And generally speaking, you're not going to get into the major ketosis unless you're fasting. It's really hard to do, and I've tried. I've tried. No, it doesn't work. I can do it for like 3 days after a fast when I'm really conscientious and keeping the calories down and just eating the way you're supposed to after a fast, which is very gentle on the system. By the way, the breaking the fast period is more important than the fasting period because that's when a lot of people blow it. They just go and they go, I'm done. I remember being at a place in Costa Rica, and that it was we did a raw foods, juice, and then a week of fasting. And we're having a conversation with somebody, and they're going, there's a pizza place on the way home. You want to stop there? I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, we come here 3 times a year. We get cleaned out, and then we go back and do it again and come back again. Okay. So a lot of people use fasting as basically a cleansing thing. That keeps them from having a good diet. They have to have a good diet. Okay, so we talked about conditions. What are a couple of the conditions you remember? Kidney disease. What's another contraindication to keto? Or something you have to be careful about with keto? Thyroid hormone. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just you watch, yeah? Severe adrenal fatigue, yep. And you just watch. And some people with severe adrenal fatigue do great. When I was in my 20s and I had severe adrenal fatigue, fasting was what saved me, right? And sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it didn't make me worse. It made me better, maybe better. So it's all individual. And as to be the healthful the practitioner you want to be, you need to jump out of the fishbowl and jump into a pond of your own. I gave you this yesterday. Who brought it back? Okay, so what I'd love to do is just take a minute or two, and we're going to have more time for this later this afternoon in our implementation and create a plan moving forward. But I want to see who had a lot of low marks in the side for self-care mastery. Okay, so you need more help in the self-care mastery. Okay, who else, be honest, guys, who else needs more support for themselves in the self-care? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If anybody hasn't gotten one of these, just put your hand up and somebody on the team will come around and give you one. We gave them out yesterday morning. So self-care is critical for you to be a good practitioner, right? If you're exhausted and you're sitting there drinking coffee to try to stay awake and you're trying to talk to this person about their adrenal fatigue, they're not likely to take you seriously, right? And if you have an obese doctor smoking a cigarette and you're talking to them about a healthy diet and quitting smoking, are you going to take them seriously if they weigh 300 pounds and are smoking cigarettes? Right? It's the old, my mother said, do as I say, not as I do. Who had a mother that said that? Children should be seen and not heard. Right? We all need to be heard, and kids need to be heard and seen. Right? Heard and seen. It's super important. And that brings me to our charity. So I wanted to remind you guys that we have a lot of generous donations. We've raised $7,600. $7,656. Give us a hand. Generosity. Woohoo! And we have the prizes for the top 5 and a special prize for the top 1. So far, is it okay if I read your name if you're on that list? It's okay? Carrie is number 1. Janice is number 2. Yay, where's Janice? Yay, there you go. Diane is number 3. Where's Diane? Where are you sitting? Diane Voss. Shannon is number 4. Woo! Okay, now here's where we need a tiebreaker. There are 7 people tied for number 5. So those are all the $500 donations. So you're going to get all the whatever's in the 500 thing, but if you want to really keep get going and get yourself in the top 5 to get Dr. Alan Hopping's $500 certificate and his, what did we have the other thing? Oh, the EBV course online, then go slip him a couple more dollars. So I just want to appreciate all of you and give each other a hand for generously supporting. We find that that's really important to us. At every event, we choose a charity that we're going to raise to, because I feel like when we give, we get back, and we get back in kind or in other, right? And we don't want to give to get back, but that's just the way the law of the universe and reciprocity and all happens, right? When you give, people are coming to you wanting to give back. So who had some issues in their clinical skills that some of the clinical skills need brushing up? Anybody? Nobody? You feel like you're totally there? 100%? You know everything on that list and you had a 10. Who had a 10 on everything on that list? The clinical part. Okay. Who had some ones in there? Okay, be honest. Who had some twos in there? Who had some fives in there? And so most of you have between 5. If we averaged out your score on all of those, most of you have somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10. Is that correct? No? Yeah. You haven't scored. Okay, so, good. So this, before we get back together this afternoon, on I think our 4 o'clock session after the raffle, I would love you to go through these and just rank yourself and be honest with yourself on what you need. Be honest with yourself on your self-care. Be honest with yourself on clinical skills, because you owe it to your people, you owe it to the world to have those clinical skills way up there and to have your self-care skills way up there. You need to be 100% to be giving to someone else, because if you're not 100%, how can you give to someone else, right? So where do you need the work? Do you have some extra weight that needs to go away? Do you have fatigue? Are you exercising, right? It doesn't mean you can't get out there and help other people if you still have problems, but you need to be having a system and a plan for rectifying those. Okay, we did the vagus nerve. Who remembers all of this and can answer and tell me what the vagus nerve supplies? But there's a picture. We went through polyvagal theory. Okay, what are the branches of the vagus nerve? Okay, that's the branches of the autonomic nervous system, is parasympathetic and sympathetic. And then which one is the vagus nerve in? Yeah, but which system is it, parasympathetic or sympathetic, the vagus? Parasympathetic, okay. And there's how many branches to that?
Two.
Okay, what are they? The dorsal and the ventral. Okay, which one do we want to move people towards staying in as much as possible? The ventral. The ventral. Support, community, love, connection, all the things we've been talking about this weekend. Stimulate that. What's one thing that you can do every single day and teach your clients to do every day to support their ventral vagus nerve? Breathe. There you go. The cold water, they may not like you very much, so wait till you know them. Like, okay, I really want to help you. I want you every day to just splash the coldest water you can in your face. Just say it, right? Stick your tongue in ice. Okay, what's an easier one? But that's a good one. It's true. Hugs, and Allie said it, breathing. What was the other one? Gargle, sing loud, hum, right? Which of the ones you're going to get the most compliance with, you think, when it starts out?
Hugging.
Hugging. What else? Breathe, sing, right? So don't start with gag yourself with a tongue depressor. Don't start with stick your tongue in ice water, right? Because you want them to like you and come back and go, oh, this is fun. This is great. This is going to be really cool. So it controls a lot of our current symptoms that we see people. Symptoms can result from understimulation of the vagus. And there's the list, right? So you guys hit most of them. The diving reflex. Anybody remember what the diving reflex is? The splashing, right, exactly. You guys are good. You're smart. Coffee enema. The first thing you tell them is, your vagus nerve needs to be stimulated. I want you to get up every morning, and I want you to brew some coffee. And they're like, oh, wow, a health program where I get to drink coffee? And then I want you to pour it in a bucket, and then I want you to put it up your butt. How many of your clients are going to go, oh, yeah, cool, I like this, right? It may be fine for you because you already do it. It's easy, but not everybody's like that. Not everybody's like that. And Bobby was generous enough to come on stage, and we demonstrated this technique, and you got it in your book, and you can do this because it's so, so valuable in getting the ventral nerve back on, right? We talked about gut bugs. That was a highlight, right, that there's so many of them, and Steph did an amazing presentation. And then Dr. Allen talked about testing, and he was amazing and opened up some eyes. Who learned something from both of those presentations? Yes? Awesome. Awesome. And we talked about SNPs and how they were reported. I condensed a 15-day training into an hour. How was that? Right, so this is something that you need to be just keeping up with, and you don't have to be the expert in genetics, but knowing how to use the genetic findings to influence your clients into doing things that you want them to do anyway. Okay, so we're going to switch into something new, and the new is herbs. And again, this could be a 15-day training condensed into a very short period of time. I want you to have some awareness, and I'm going to give you homework, right? I want you to pick one of these or two of these that you're not familiar with a week. And I don't mean like you cursorily know, oh, you know, hawthorn berry, it's good for blood pressure, and it's good for cardiac tone. No, like really to get to know them. Pick one herb a week to really get to know. And if you were to pick one herb a week to read the monographs and to read the research, and to really get to know it, you'll start to be able to know who the right people are. Because herbs are not like drugs. You don't have a condition and an herb that goes with the condition. You have to look at the herb from the standpoint of what is it doing in the physiology? What symptoms, what imbalances does it address? And this person in front of you, what does this person need? And then you match them together. You might be right sometimes, you might be wrong, depending on how long you've had experience and how your training is, but they're, simple enough. Don't play with things like lobelia and poke root and, things that are drop-dose things that you only should be a very experienced herbalist to be using. But the stuff on here are very, they're very forgiving. They have a lot of nutritive value. And we classify herbs as nutritive or, like, therapeutic or highly therapeutic and possibly toxic, right? And we have to be really careful with those if you're not experienced. But the nutritive herbs, like hawthorn is really good for liver support. It really helps with the heart. And ashwagandha is an adaptogen, which means it goes either way. It can go, oh, yeah, I'll stimulate you, or, oh, no, I'm going to put you to sleep. And ginseng is like that as well, and ginseng probably could be on there too, but there's just so much room on a slide, and I just picked a bunch. What's that? Where it is? Oh, it's midway. There it is. So ginseng. So one of my favorite herbalists was telling a story. She used to be a midwife, and she was telling a story about how she had this woman in labor, and the labor wasn't progressing. And this woman was, like, exhausted, and she'd been in labor for many hours. And she said, I'm going to give her some help here. And she's like, well, do I help stimulate the labor and the contractions and make it get over with fast? Or do I help her to relax, slow it down, build her strength up so she can finish the labor? And then she goes, I'm going to give her ginseng, because ginseng will decide, right? Her body physiology will decide which way it goes. And it sounds kind of weird if you're in medicine to go, how could it do either way? Well, that's just the way it kind of stimulates the physiology or slows it down. And so she gave her ginseng, and the woman fell asleep for 3 hours, woke up, and delivered the baby in half an hour. Right? So sometimes we have to let nature, we have to let the body's wisdom and the plants that can work with the body So these are great herbs. I love the mushrooms. You've got a lot of these are over here, and if you haven't experimented with them, I would just take small bits of them and see how it feels in your body. And I would say that for any herbs, as you're learning it, if you pick an herb and you're going to go an herb a week, then just sit with it and take it in your own body and play with the doses before you start playing around with people and just say, oh yeah, everybody needs turmeric. Everybody needs cordyceps. No, that's not true, right? So you can get familiar with these and have some new things in your toolbox, okay? So I am going to stop my presentation right now, and I want to show you something really special. It's a little video that really touched me. So if you can show that. Down. I'm going to watch it again.
Here. reason I wanted to share that with you is because it really touched me, and I feel like I can do that. There's more I can do, but if I were to leave this planet tomorrow, I feel like I've touched a lot of lives. I feel like I've made a difference. And of course, there's more. I feel like I won't have any regrets, right, about what I wanted to do, what I thought I should do, what I was called to do, but I didn't. Or I said, I'll wait till later. We have a crisis in our world. We have a medical crisis. And it's not them out there that's being affected. It's your family, it's my family, it's your friends, it's your loved ones. It's everybody in this room has been touched by that. Everybody in this room has suffered as a result of that. And we're all here together in this place at this time for a reason. To ignite that passion and that determination to make the difference we were put here to make, to help the people we were put here to help, and to change this broken system so my mother and your mother and somebody else's mother don't suffer that way. And we, as the children of those mothers who leave the planet earlier, or the parents of children that leave the planet before they're meant to leave the planet. And so we need to all band together and commit to making a difference. Yesterday, I extended an invitation to you to join our community, and some of you have been called to join us. And if you're willing to raise your hand, raise your hand if you've stepped up to that and decided to join us. Yes. And I know it's a courageous move. I know it's a move going, I don't know if this is right for me, but I'm feeling called to do it. And I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but somehow or other, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it happen. And I remember back in, I don't know, remember what year it was. I think it was 2009. I went to a seminar, and there was an offer for a program that I was like, that's going to take my message out to the world. But it's too expensive. But it's going to take my message out to the world. And I kept this feeling inside of me said, you need to do this. And the voice inside of me, the reason, you know, the left brain voice kept saying, oh, no. You can't do this. It's not the right time. And what if it doesn't work? And blah, blah. That voice kept working. And I decided to follow the inner voice, and I did that program. And as a result of being in that program, I made the most amazing connections. And I got clients who came and worked with me as a result. And as a result of my investment, I probably made $200,000 or $300,000 as a result of the actions I took over the next years. In fact, I would say I would attribute it to some of what I'm doing right here and now, right? Standing up on stage and inspiring 100 people at a time. And so if I look back, that was the right decision, but it was really hard. But I look back and say, what if I hadn't made that decision? What if I had decided, no, it's too much money, and kept trying to do things on my own? How many lives would have been lost as a result of people who've come to me and said, you saved my life, right? But would I have gotten that message out there? Sure, I had the skills that I needed at the time, but was I getting the message out? This was in particular a business thing. And I think about that. You know, I think about a lot of regrets that I have in my life that I wish I didn't have. Right, of things that I wanted to do and didn't do because I was too scared. And I know that fear is a protective thing, but sometimes the fear prevents us from doing what we're called to do. And your fear at stepping out and doing what you're called to do could prevent people from healing that they wouldn't know about you, or you wouldn't have the skills to be able to help them.
So I wanted to share a couple more things. We've created a community here that's just amazing, and we're all joined on that same mission. And we're out there helping people. And that's going to ripple, right? Because every person that we talk to ripples out to other people that they talk to. I spoke at an event years ago where I spoke, and this person had been very sick and on lots of medication, and his friend brought him there to hear me speak because he couldn't get his friend to do what he wanted him to do. And I spoke, and I didn't know if I touched him. He bought a recipe book from me and went off. 9 months later, I got an email from this guy. He said, "You saved my life. I was about to have a heart attack. I mean, the doctors were telling me I didn't have much longer to live, and I was on all kinds of medication. And that one talk you did made a difference for me. And I've been following you, and I've been on your Facebook, and I've been, you know, coming to your free webinars. And now I'm 50 pounds lighter, I'm off all my medication, and I'm the healthiest I've been in my life." Right? But who's afraid? So many people are afraid to get out on a stage and share the message, right? Because it's scary. So many people are afraid to get the education that they need to be able to get up on stage, to have the confidence based on competence, and afraid to step out. And I think that when fear holds you back from doing what you're called to do, from being in a community of like-minded people who can support you, and I know I've tried to do it on my own. I personally am always in some sort of a support group where I pay a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, to multiple places to get that support and community, to give me the strength and the courage to keep going, to give me the tools and the skills. We never stop learning, right? We never, ever stop learning. We should never stop learning. So I encourage you to really step in, and if you're feeling that scary bubble that we talked about, the butterflies, no, I don't have a community. When I've gone without a community for a year and said, "Oh, I don't need this, I'm not going to spend money again," nothing happened. I didn't move forward, right? And Hallie's shaking her head, yeah, right? The community is what you need to keep you going, to lift you up and say, "Okay, well, that was good, but let's just, you know, keep going. Yeah, you only got 5 people in the room when you did a seminar. Great, that's 5 lives you changed, 5 lives you stimulated," right? So I feel like what we've put together is unique out there in programs, in that, yeah, you're going to get lots of the education, the technical stuff that all us left-brainers love, right? You're going to learn about everything you needed to know about all the body systems and all the nutritional approaches and all the lab testing. But it's more than that. It's a supportive community that you can come to. You know, I think about Toni, who I told you about yesterday. If she hadn't stepped into that, you know, I'm an accountant, how can I do this? And she hadn't stepped into that, that poor woman would have lost her thyroid. She was scheduled for surgery 3 weeks later, and Toni gave her a glimmer of hope when she spoke. "You don't have to lose your thyroid. Maybe we can save it." She still has her thyroid. This is like 5 years later, right? I think about Annette going, "I'm going to a seminar and I'm not going to spend a dime. I'm going to a seminar and I'm not going to spend a dime. I'm not buying anything. I'm not buying anything." And the bubble came up, and she, whatever reason that bubble came up, and maybe it was her deep intuition telling her something really important is going to come up, that this is going to help. And her daughter would have died if she didn't know what she knew, if she didn't know how to look at her lab tests and tell the doctors what to do and shift around and do something completely different than what those doctors were telling her to do. If she didn't have the courage to step in, where would Annette's daughter be right now? And I don't think Annette wants to go there, right? Because it's painful, right? Right? I think about my own parents. I think about my mom and think about the fact that if her doctors knew what you have the potential to know in going through this community and this program, would she still be with us? She would be, how old am I? 84. Not real old, You know, we know a lot of people that are much older than that. You heard Ocean tell the story of his dad, right? His dad, who that doctor took the chance and handed him that book and said, read this and do it. And he had been given 2 years to live, and he lived to be 90. My mother would be 84. And I believe that if she had a doctor that hadn't had the courage, or somebody other than her daughter that had the courage to give her that advice. So, I have another video. And I wasn't going to show this because I showed the other video. But I watched this again, and every time I watch this, it makes me cry. What's that? Get the tissues. Yeah, get the tissues for people. What things in your life have you done that you regretted? What things did you not do in your life that you regretted not doing? That you wondered, what if I'd done that? Where would I be? And I want to just, before I show this video, I want to just tell you, and I'll tell you after. Go ahead and show the video. It's one of my favorites. And you might have seen it, but every time I see it, I cry again.
Thank you.
The last time I spoke to my mother was Easter Sunday, 1991. We had an amazing conversation. It was getting late. It was almost midnight in New York where she lived. She said, I gotta go to sleep. And she was just about to tell me some stories about when she was a child, a small child, and stories about my grandmother and how it was growing up. And she says, you're coming to see me in June. You're coming to see me in June. We'll talk then. We'll have plenty of time to stay up late and have conversations. She says, I'll call you Thursday for your birthday. It was my 35th birthday a few days later. The call I got wasn't from my mother. It was from the family telling me my mother had had a massive heart attack and died. That day, my birthday, my 35th birthday. I never got to have that conversation. I never got to really get into her depths and her soul. Because I didn't, just tell me quickly, we put it off. Well, we do that a lot in life. Who's ever put off a decision? You put it off. You go, it's not the right time. And I'll tell you that a lot of folks have said that to me over the last 2 days or since last night. I want to do your program, but now is not the right time. And when I think about that, it's like, what is the right time? Is there ever a right time? Is there ever a right time to have a baby? Like, yeah, when you're 85 and you're retired and you have plenty of time and money, right? And we've put things off. So I think about that and I say, if there's an issue with time, let's talk that through. Because think about over that time, who are these people that you would have been able to help? How many people might be still suffering because you put off getting the education and the community support and having a proven system to take people through? Living with regret is really hard of what I could have done. And I've made the decision that I won't live with regret anymore. If I'm called to do something, I'm going to make it happen. And if you're called to be the best practitioner out there, to help the most people out there, to get your message out far and wide, we've put together an amazing system, a super amazing system. And I would encourage you to just take your form, just take the deposit, don't worry about figuring out how you're going to pay for it. Make that first step, because that first step tells the universe that you're serious. And the universe will conspire to figure it out. Annette had no idea how she was going to pay for it. Angelica had no idea how she was going to pay for it. Lynn had no idea. Our friend who brought the $11,000 in cash 2 weeks later had no idea where he was going to get that from. But he knew he was committed and he put that deposit down. He said, I am going to do this. If you want to help massive number of people, if you want to change this healthier system, we have the support for you to do that. We have the support for you to do that. We have the tools. We have the certification. We have the relicensure. We have so many things I didn't even mention the other day, where once you're certified, you can license my materials and use them with your clients and your patients. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of hours was my blood, sweat, and tears to create those. And I put them in there to make it easier for you. And I would love to welcome you to our community. So if you go to the middle of the book, take out the card, fill it out, put the deposit down, join us for lunch. We're going to all meet for lunch in another room down the hall somewhere. You want to get to know each other. We're going to support each other and lift each other up and provide the community, the tools, the education, the mentorship, the ability to come and ask me anything you need to support your clients, the ability to reach out to more people. So I encourage you to go to the back. This is your last break before lunch. Go to the back. If you're having concerns, you're not sure, talk to one of our coaches, and they'll help you through. If it's financial, just step in and say yes and figure it out. We'll work with you over the next couple of weeks to figure out what is going to happen, what it's going to take to make it happen. But you and you and you and you, we all make a difference. We all make a difference. We all have a message to share. And we need to band together to make this a better place, this world a better place. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart.